I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. Welcome back. I know it has been a few weeks since our last episode. It didn't really feel right to me to release anything last week, for obvious reasons. So here we are. I'm very happy that we're back. I hope you all have been taking care of your mental health. And before we get into things, I just want to let you know, if you go to my Instagram, there is a link for ways that you can help Ukrainians right now. If you are able to make monetary donations, that is fantastic. If you can't, just share the links, get them out there, and glory to Ukraine. This week on the show, we have the fantabulous William Stanford Davis. You may remember him from Ray Donovan or If Loving You Is Wrong. He's also on the Apple TV series Swagger, and he currently plays Mr. Johnson on Abbott Elementary, everyone's favorite television show right now. I know that I can't get enough of it. So it's great having William, or Stan as he goes by, on the show today. And before we get into that conversation, here's a quick ad.
Hello, my name is Jamie.
My name is Ryan.
And we have a podcast called Stories, the True
and the Fictional.
We talk about stories in the movies,
stories in books,
stories from history,
and stories from Crazy Joe down the street.
But we also talk to the storytellers,
the authors, the filmmakers,
everyday folk with a story to tell.
If this sounds like your kind of thing,
then check out Stories, the True
and the Fictional
on Apple Podcasts
and Spotify.
And welcome to the show, Mr. William Stanford Davis.
It's so good to be here with you, Jillian.
It's so good. Oh, man. For the listeners, we have had the most difficult technical difficulties in the world, but we have made it and we're here and we're so excited.
And I'm guilty because I am computer illiterate. I'm the most illiterate person I know.
No.
Have you show me how to turn the computer on.
I definitely have people like that in my life. I have one friend in particular who calls me and is like, I don't know how to do this. Can you just tell me what to do? And I'm like, yep, I got you. Walking you through it. We're doing it. But I'm glad that we got there today. And I'm so excited to have you on the show. I mean, you've been working for so long, and you have done so many incredible TV series and films throughout your career, but I want to go back first and talk to you a little bit about how you got your start and when you caught the acting bug.
It's something, you know, when you're a child, something that you want to do. And I know first time my mom took me to a movie, wow, this is something. Because, you know, I was mesmerized, she was mesmerized, and it caused emotion one way or another for everyone in the theater. And I would say 5, 6, you know, wow. How you can see in the future and you say, that's something I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure you felt the same way about broadcasting, about journalism, that this is something that I'm gonna do, you know.
Well, do you remember what that first film was that you saw that like made you say, wow, I need to do this?
Wow. Now you're getting me now. I'm old. So I got to dig way back. Oh, my God.
I was having this conversation recently.
It was a Sidney Poitier movie with Tony Curtis, The Defiant Ones. That's the first one I really remember, just vividly remember. And then... I saw a movie with Sal Mineo. Do you know who Sal Mineo is?
Yeah.
A movie called Blackboard Jungle. I believe that's what it was. And wow. it was just, you know, tough and cool. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I wanted to do that, you know, and it had a lot of guys that, like Jim Backus, who plays Mr. Magoo. He was the voice of Mr. Magoo. but he was in this movie, you know, and seeing that movie, then seeing The Defiant Ones a few years later, I was like, this is, wow, you know, it did that for me, and I saw what it did for those around me.
That's really, that's inspiring. I love that first moment that you had was watching Sidney Poitier, who's, just the most incredible actor. I remember, I think the first thing I saw him in was Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Right.
And I remember seeing that and just being completely blown away by his control. He had such control over his craft and his talent. He's such an amazing person to watch. So I can get why you were memorized.
A raisin got me too. A Raisin and the Sun. Mm. I had a chance to meet him a couple of times, and
wow.
There are a few people you meet in life that they have this aura. And this aura is almost—it's like you can't take your eyes off of him. But the aura is so bright. He was like that. Muhammad Ali was like that. Sidney Poitier, and the times that I got a chance to be around him, he was just such a generous gentleman.
I so would have loved to have meted him. Yeah. Meted. Wow, that was a word. Met him.
Yeah, yeah. Meted is cool.
Listen, it's been a long day already. So you got the bug by watching films in the theater, but when did you actually start to make that move? Was it after college, before college? Did you say, I'm not doing college, I'm just going to this? What was that decision like?
I went to college and, I was always in entertainment. I started out in a band in high school, but even before I was in the band, I was a DJ. I was a club DJ at 14. I mean,
no,
you know, hip hop DJs and stuff. We were kind of the entree to hip hop, you know, and I was a club DJ. So I was always in some form of entertainment. But up under all of that, I knew that I wanted to be an actor. When I got to college, even in high school, we had a stage crafters. And when I got to college, they had another theater group. And I was too, can I cuss? Can I say a bad word?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was too chicken shit. I was too chicken shit to join either one because they were all so good, you know. Mm. Even in high school, I was like, wow, these guys are good, you know. And in college, definitely, they did a play called A Hat Full of Rain. Mm. And I was just blown away by all the actors and how great they were. And I really wanted to be a part of it, but I was just too... My confidence was like, no, you can't do that, you know. And so, but something kept saying, you can, you really can, you know. Don't let this stop you, you know.
Right.
And I came to California. I got here late. I got here in my early 30s, actually.
Mm.
But I ran into, it's like the universe aims you in the right direction. I met the right people. Someone introduced me to another person. I got an agent. I got into workshops. I just followed directions. And sometimes they led down a dead end. Sometimes they led to a pot of gold. But, you know, it was just all a part of the process. And I just got in classes and studied and studied and studied and studied and fell on my butt, got up on my butt again and got up. And then I booked that first job.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I booked the documentary for America's Most Wanted.
Heck yes. That's got to be so fun.
Yeah, yeah. And then I got a small part on one of the soaps. Oh, shoot. What is the soap? Ah. It's been so long ago.
There's only a couple still on now. Yeah, so there's General Hospital, Days of Our Lives.
The one on CBS, Bold and Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it just kind of, you know, one thing led to another. And you meet people, you know, you get referrals, you work, you mm-hmm. network. And one thing just kind of, and, you know, when I started teaching, I told young actors, the only way that you don't make it is you quit.
Yep.
If this is something you really want to do, then you're one no away from a yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just hang in there. And then things just started happening, you know. I'd get these calls, hey, you booked, you know, and I'd run around the house.
You know, screaming.
Screaming, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Do you remember what that first role for you was that you felt like, wow, this is the moment where I know I'm on the right path? Because obviously there's the roles that you book that you're like, oh, great, I'm working and that's fantastic. And I love that I'm working. But there's those moments too where you book something that you just know is that moment where you kind of switch from being the person who books things every once in a while to the person who is constantly working.
That's kind of funny because even when you book things once in a while, you know. I did the practice. I did a guest lead on the practice, and you know how long ago that's been because it's been off 30 years, and it just felt so natural. It felt so good, you know.
Yeah.
And it was a while before I booked something else, but I knew from that job that this, you're on the right track, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, someone referred me to the casting director because they thought that my work was worthy.
Wow.
And then right after that, it was Ally McBeal and a couple other things. And then I booked a recur on a show called Lincoln Heights.
Right.
And I was on in every season of that. And that's when I knew, okay, just calm down.
Calm down. You have this.
You're going to be all right. You know what you're doing. And the other thing that that made me just feel like I was at home was doing theater. Doing theater. And I, in between not doing television or doing a movie, I try to stay on stage. You know, I try to do a play.
Yeah, work and, that muscle, stay active.
Yeah. And it's on the job training. And I have the saying, film makes you famous, TV makes you rich, and theater makes you good. Theater,
there you go.
Gives you a chance to come out and do it every night and forget last night is history. Now you get a chance to do it all over again, where in television and film, you don't have that luxury.
Well, and I think theater is important too, especially in the big cities when you're trying to keep your head on straight and you're looking for that community of fellow artists, having that home base, that theater that you can go to where you know that you have your people. It's really important for artists, especially ones that are you know, new to the industry, who didn't necessarily grow up in it, who are here, come here in their 20s or their 30s or, you know, their 40s, and they are looking for that companionship. I think theater really is the best way to do that.
Especially if you're working with, I hate to use the word better than you, but yeah, you want to work with actors who are stronger or better, because that makes you step up to the plate, step up to the game. And I was fortunate enough, most of the theater that I've done, I've always worked with actors that I admired. I wanted to do what they were doing. I wanted to be that type of actor.
Yeah.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
I want to talk to you a little bit about all these incredible shows that you've been a reoccurring character on, because there's so many. But specifically, like Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, it may have been short-lived, but like I loved it. I thought it was a great show. Ray Donovan, Snowpiercer. I mean, you were able to go in there and create these, you know, nuanced, layered characters, and they're really, you know, it shows how much versatility you have. I'd love to know a little bit about, you know, how you make those characters and make those decisions for each character.
Well, I think that we all have everything that a human being can be, we have in us. You know, I think that we do. We love, we hate, we mourn, we, you know, we have joy. And I try to find first of all, in each character, I try to find what in this character that I that I have in common with the character. That's the first thing I look for. And then I try to find out my relationship with the other characters, and that's how I start to build a character, my relationship with the other characters, when it's taking place, why it's taking place, you know, all those things, you know, the basic who, what, when, where, and why. But I try to find out what it is that I have in common with the character first. And then we build from there. Studio 60 reminded me of a job I once worked. I was a manager. I was a telemarketing manager, a job I hated. But I ran things. I reported to people. I made sure everything was in order. I made sure people were there on time where they were supposed to be. And that's basically this guy who was a floor manager for Studio 60. Lincoln Heights, this guy reminded me of so many of the guys that I saw in the neighborhood that I grew up in, you know, a store owner, a guy named Raymond. And Raymond was just a really sturdy guy, trustworthy, would help you if you needed something.
Yeah.
Looked out. He was nosy. He knew everything that was going on in the neighborhood.
And hey, I am that person. I am 100% the person who is staring outside my window, making sure I know what's going on.
I took a little bit of that from my grandmother, who was just like what you just said. Everything that went on in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
She looked out the blind. Child, you need to see what this guy has on right now. Oh my God. His mama let him come out of the house.
Oh my God, I love that.
You know, and that was her, that was just who she was, you know. So I, you know, you take from your own life experiences and you try to find what you have in common with the character, and you try your best to loan that to the character. And then I'm always looking what the character can loan me, you know.
Yeah. You know, on the show in the past, I haven't really talked, you know, method with very many people, purely because I don't know if the listeners will even care if I ask this, but I'm going to ask it because I'm very interested to know, is there a, you know, every actor has their own way of doing things. I personally like Meisner. There's people like Strasberg. There's people who don't do any of it, or who mix it, or who, you know, we all have our own style. And I just would love to know kind of what your personal thing is. Like, how did you find that for you? And how did you find what worked?
I call it, like you said, mix. I call it a hodgepodge.
Yeah.
I'm a member of the Actors Studio, but I studied with other teachers who were students of Meisner, students of Stella Adler. Mm-hmm. And I took what they taught, too. You know, everything from the repeat exercise to the mirror exercise and things to help prepare for the work. The studio, though, challenged me to use my five senses, that everything that we experience in life is filtered through our five senses. We don't have an experience. And that nothing, that everything in life is specific.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, you'll hear casting people say, well, just throw that line away. That just means that's less important than something. Nothing that we do is thrown away. And so after going to all these other classes throughout my lifetime here in Los Angeles and finally becoming a member of the Actors Studio, I brought all of that with me, and then I was finally at home. And through the mentoring of Mark Rydell and the late Martin Landau, I learned so much. You know, I learned so much. And those are the things that when I do teach myself, I try to share. I don't even like to call it teaching. I try to share what's been shared with me.
Oh, I love that.
You know, I'm not the method guy that if I'm playing a homeless person, I'm gonna go sitting up under a bridge for 2 days. I'm not that guy. You know, but I have had my lights cut off. You know what I mean? I still think that we have everything in us that a human being can be. When I see a homeless person, which I see daily,
yeah,
my heart breaks, and I take taking everything that I see. You know, I saw one guy, he had his shoes in a neat row and his clothes were folded. And I was like, oh my God, and then you see someone else and it's just a pile of trash, you know? And I played a lot of homeless guys. I borrow from that. I don't have to go and sit up under a bridge. No.
Well, there's a balance. And I think there are definitely those actors who go a little too far.
If I'm playing a drug addict, I'm not going to go out and shoot heroin. You know what I'm saying?
No. And I feel like there's definitely those people who probably would. And that's just a little too much for me. I think we can figure it out on our own. Or just talk to people who have been there. I mean, that's my thing. It's like, I've always felt that if you just are able to talk to someone, if you don't know that situation or you haven't witnessed it up close, if you can just talk to somebody who has, so that you get that personal experience a bit, it really helps. And you don't have to then go off and do something wild and crazy. You can just talk to somebody and figure it out and learn from their life lessons.
Exactly. And one thing that like I said, that Marty, he would give you examples. Sometimes when you're playing a role, he would see things in the role that had nothing to do with the character itself. You know, that some, you're like, oh my God, I never thought about that. And he'd give you something to try. Try this. He'd give you an exercise. He said, now carry this particular thing in there with you. You know, you're trying to, maybe you have a stammer and you're trying your best to not stammer, you know, and maybe that had nothing to do with the character, but you found that helped you get to that place that you really wanted to, and it fed you, you know? So,
yeah. Well, and it's all about playing. And that's like a perfect example of being able to play around with something to then find it, because that's usually the characters that we love the most, is that they have those weird idiosyncrasies where you're just like, that's bizarre. I wouldn't have made that choice. But because you made that choice, it made the character come to life. It made them real.
Yes. Yes.
Before we get to the audition portion of this, I have to talk to you a little bit about Abbott Elementary, because my God, what a funny show. Also, some of my favorite people are on it, Cheryl Lee Ralph and Lisa Walter. How is it filming that show? Because it has to be, like, to me, it looks like a complete blast, especially because you guys are just killing it and making everybody laugh every single week. It's just such a joy.
The day we wrapped, Cheryl Lee said, this is the most fun. And she said, I've worked on several shows. This is the most fun I've ever had on any show ever. And I've been on a lot of shows, and I ditto that. This is the most fun I've ever had. And to be a part of something so special, you know, I was watching Quinta on Good Morning America, and they went to a school in Philadelphia and surprised the teacher, and they gave the school a $50,000 in supplies and things like that. The show is doing those type of things, and it's affecting those, I think, that have been neglected, not only the students, but the teachers. You know, I think teachers should be paid more than anyone else, because they do a job no one else can do.
And they also shouldn't have to pay for their own supplies or extra food for the children. They should be taken care of.
Whatever. You know, my aunt and uncle were teachers, and they bring kids home and give them clothes and feed them, put money in their pockets, you know, and things like that to make sure that, you know, and they did that a lot. But back to your original question, this has been, I've never had this much fun. The cast, the crew, we'll dance. If something silly happens on the set, we just like falling out laughing. They have to cut, and we have to start all over again. It's just been, you know, I thank God every day. Whatever God looks like and whoever he is or she is, I am so thankful, you know, every day, because the show is, I really believe it's doing something special, you know, it's doing something different, you know.
I completely agree with that. It's rare in itself to be a part of a comedy, a single camera comedy that isn't, you know, canceled after one season. Like, it's very rare to get on that show that makes it and is fantastic and people love it and the ratings are great, but then to actually be a part of one that is making a change within communities as well. I mean, that's like, I don't think that's happened.
This show is getting Quinta into heaven.
Yes.
She does nothing else. You know, she's a giant. To be such a little lady, she's a giant and she's so smart. She's a genius to have come up with this and to make it so real.
Yeah.
It's so funny, you know. And they got a great group of writers and the crew. Oh my God. I've never had this much fun in my entire acting career.
And we're going to take a quick break to hear from our friends over at Nerds Talking.
Hello, this is Lafayette.
And I'm Carlos.
From Nerds Talking the Podcast.
That's right.
Where we talk about everything from UFOs.
Yep.
Comic books.
I like that.
Movies.
Uh-huh.
Streaming services.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theories.
Oh.
Ghosts.
Mm.
Video games.
Yeah.
And more.
Kick ass.
All on Nerds Talking the Podcast.
You can find us every Friday with new episodes on all digital platforms where you find your favorite podcast, Nerds Talking the Podcast.
Now back to the show.
So on this show, we like to share audition stories. Now, that can be something that's gone awry. It can be something funny, something very depressing. It's really up to you. So is there an audition story you'd like to share?
Do you want to say the name of the show? Do you want me to say the name of the show? Or just
you can if you want, but you don't have to. If you'd rather not say the name, you don't really need to. But the story is what we're after.
Okay, I'm at this audition. Oh wow! I've written a short film about it. It was so crazy.
Oh my gosh!
You prep and prep and prep and prep, and this was back during the days of flip phones.
Mm.
And going for this audition, and I just gotten my I had worn reading glasses. Well, I still wore reading glasses, but I was wearing glasses, and I go in the audition, I leave my glasses in my bag in the waiting room, but I have my flip phone in my pocket because, you know, you don't leave your phone.
Right.
And I thought that I had turned my phone off and I hit something else and didn't turn the phone off. And right in the middle of the audition, the phone starts ringing. So everybody, they look at one another, the producers, the cast director, and they, you know, give me the permission to start all over again. So I think I turned the phone off and I start the audition again and it starts buzzing. These old flip phones are like you could almost see it buzzing out of my pocket, you know, and they're looking at each other like, okay, you know, now this time, you know what flop sweat is? Flop sweat, when comics are on stage bombing, and they get flop sweat. I'm like flop sweat. And I'm talking about every, I'm like, oh my God. And they let me start again.
Oh no.
And by this time I'm so frustrated that I just leave the room, you know.
Yeah.
And I leave the room and go straight to my car. I'm just so upset with myself. I'm trying to fight tears, you know. Any actor that says they never fought tears is lying.
Lying. You
know? And trying to fight the tears. And I get in my car and I'm bamming on the steering wheel and I'm cussing myself out. And you this and you, you know. And get to my next destination and realize I left my bag at the audition. And so I had to go all the way back to get my bag. By this time, I'll tell you the studio. I won't tell you the show, though. But I get back to Gower Studio, and it's closed.
Oh, my God.
The custodian is there, and I can see my bag. And I just said, man, what is my bag? Can I get my bag? And he didn't know me. And I said, can you please just find someone? And he went upstairs, and he got the executive producer.
Oh no.
And he came down and he gave me my bag. He opened the door and gave me my bag and he just looked me dead in the eye and said, just not your day, is it? You know. And I just like Oh, I had to start laughing. You know, but you know, it was just I could not let it go for a while. You know, and then there's one other quick, quick one. I went in for Grey's Anatomy. I'll tell you a story on this. Mm. And this guy is doing a stress test on a treadmill, and I start jogging.
Yeah.
I got the casting director says, "What the hell are you doing?" I said, "Well, the guy's on the treadmill." She said, "Don't do that." I said, "Okay, you know." And so now, and so I got my lines down, and I'm just ready to do it without the lines. And she said, "We're starting on scene. I forget which scene number, but now because I got it memorized in order."
Oh Lord, yeah.
You know, and that's why I tell actors also always take the sides in the room with you. But mm-hmm. you know, needless to say, this thing went like a fart in church. You know, and so as I was on my way out the door, her assistant says, "We love you on Ray Donovan." You know, and so. You know, you know, you get those, you know, you know, but those are the ones too, that you beat yourself up for months.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Because you, it's that human condition that we all have where it's like, you can say something stupid 12 years ago and still remember that you said that thing. And then every once in a while it pops up and you're like, "Oh God, why did I do that?"
Right. Yeah. And they, you know, in both cases, I never thought the cast directors would bring me back in.
Mm.
And they brought me in several times. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm obsessed with the fact that executive producer was just like, "It's not your day."
Yeah. But now going in, I can't shake those old auditions, you know.
Mm.
I go in with those. And so I'm still in therapy about both of those.
Oh, no. Oh gosh. Those were fantastic. Thank you for sharing those. Thank you so much. So what's next for you? You have Abbott, and then do you have anything on the horizon that you're excited about?
Well, I'm booked for an episode of Call Me Cat.
Oh, nice.
That's supposed to be in a couple of weeks. And we don't know. I did a show called Swagger, which was for Apple TV, and we're waiting to see if that's going to come back. And I have a pilot script that my writing partner and I, we've completed, and
that's
we're hoping
great.
To get it out, and hopefully
these
guys get it, you know, get it in the right hands. But other than that, just, you know, looking forward to Abbott coming back you know, waiting on the next adventure.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It has been such a pleasure talking to you, and I'm so excited for everything that happens and to see your wonderful face on more things.
Thank you so much. I'm glad we finally got a chance to
talk.
This has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks again to Stan for coming on the show and spending a little time with me. It was such a pleasure to talk to him, and I'm so stoked for season 2 of Abbott and everything that comes his way. So thank you again. And if you're not watching Abbott Elementary, I don't know what the heck you're doing, but you need to start like now. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you're listening to it right now and leave us some love via those stars and the ratings and the reviews, and tell your friends and family about the show. And I'll see you next week, friends. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit. But more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.